Today, dear brothers and sisters, we celebrate the feast of St. Gregory the Great. There are only two popes in the long history of the papacy who have received in a kind of official manner the title Great. Others have been proposed, but the title has not been universally accepted as relevant, at least at the present time. But you note that St. Gregory the Great and St. Leo the Great, the other pope known as Great, both come from the same era in the history of the Church. At the fall of the Western Roman Empire, in a kind of civil chaos, as was often encountered in most parts of Western Europe at that time, the absence of any control of all that we would call them gangs out to, as it were, rob people and get whatever they could if they could get away with it, not because they were particularly strong. And what we note in both of these popes is precisely intelligence, a great service to our Lord, and a willingness, as it were, to go to the limit in and to serve those who are entrusted to their care as believers, and what is most interesting in the case of St. Greg, to begin to organize missionary effort, evangelization in a more systematic way. The conversion of Northern Europe and Eastern Europe is made possible by St. Gregory the Great, himself a Benedictine, one of the early disciples of St. Benedict, descending from an ancient Roman family, rather wealthy still at the same time, and yet he dedicated himself entirely, as it were, the 13 years he was pope, to this effort to help the people organize their life in this world with that spiritual life which would prepare them, as it were, for the everlasting joys of heaven. You will sit at a table with me, and you will eat with me and dine with me. What was promised to the apostles for their humble service of the church, as it were, is by way of symbol here. You rule and be, as it were, kings over the 12 tribes of Israel. 12 apostles, 12 tribes. That's everybody. Everybody is involved in this stupendous arrangement which our Lord brought to pass, precisely because he became so humble in becoming the child of Mary. In the case of St. Gregory the Great, we notice a number of things. He's responsible for the conversion of England, therefore in a certain sense the beginning of the conversion of all those who speak the English language. Not that all of them remain faithful, but the fact is that there are a great many believers in Jesus who speak English. And there are others who are in error, but are in good faith. And the more they come to know what our Lord really taught, the more, as it were, they come to be one in the body of Christ. We say, as it were, the ancient educational system of the Romans had broken down by this time. But what St. Gregory entrusted to his own community, first of all, the Benedictine monasteries that were being founded in Northern Europe, was precisely responsibility not only for the evangelization of others, but for teaching. All of these monasteries were famous for their schools. And out of those schools grew what we know as the modern university around the time of St. Francis of Assisi. With the organization, a new organization of agriculture, intelligent use of the world that has been entrusted to us was particularly a thing dear to Saint Gregory, and indeed, as it were, that was the beginning of a sound agricultural economy, and later led, as it were, in the time of Saint Francis and Saint Dominic, to the beginnings of what we call the Industrial Revolution. We don't need to discern. But we see how those tremendous blessings have come not simply to Catholics, but to the whole world. When we see, as it were, what these popes were able to do single-handed without big armies and all sorts of millions and billions of dollars. We think of St. Leo the Great in pacifying Attila the Hun, later the Hungarians, eventually as the Red persuaded him to go in Pannonia, northern England, Roman province, and settle. And eventually there we come, as it were, to recognize the Hungarian nation, one of the, especially in the Middle Ages, one of the greatest contributors to the growth of the church. And the same was true, as it were in Italy, and all the problems that were with the absence of any kind of civil government, the Pope took it upon himself to help, as it were, keep basics in place so that those who were striving to live a life of perfection, prepare, and also to take care of their families in general, would have the necessities of life. And he was quite successful in organizing what later became known as the Papal States. We may say it isn't needed at the present time. It's probably true. That's why the Pope was satisfied with simply Vatican City. But in those days, as it were, it was a stupendous contribution to the furtherance of a growth of a Christian civilization nation in the midst of what seemed like chaos. We must not despair that the Lord is doing nothing. Anyway, the one conclusion I want to make here after the is simply that we should be so grateful to the Lord for the great priests and bishops that he has sent to us, especially men like Leo and Gregory, that we may be continued to be blessed by such shepherds of souls, that in the midst of all of our difficulties and all of the evils that are present, there be, as it were, something that is so precious and good as this. I might mention that finally, two books that were written by St. Gregory the Great. One was for the clergy. It's on pastors, on being a good pastor. It's for meditation, it's also for instruction. There are many seminaries at the present time that still, as it were, make that required reading for those preparing for ordinations. And for those who are interested, it will be a most interesting read. Many editions are published in many languages at the present time, including English. The other is famous, Moralia in Job. Moralisms, as it were, based on the book of Job. It was for 1,000 years after St. Gregory, after the Bible, the most read book in Christendom. It was, as it were, in those days, something what the imitation of Christ is today. So once again, the more you can learn about St. Gregory, and the more you can, as it were, taste the wisdom that he has passed on to the centuries, the greater will be your own love of Jesus. That was his whole point in writing these books, that we would love him, serve him, and find all our joy finally in being united to him, and be able to bring others, especially those entrusted to our care, to know and love Jesus and serve him, so that we too can enjoy being served by Jesus at his table in his kingdom, as we enjoy, as it were, now in receiving our Lord worthily in a holy Eucharist. It is our Lord who is feeding us. It is our Lord who is served, not the priest who happens to be bringing the host to us, but the one who stands behind them. That should be a source in the midst of even the worst of troubles of calm, peaceful joy in our hearts. In a little while, it will be eternity. It will be heaven. For your praise be Jesus and Mary.